We read at verse 16, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Verse 13 of chapter 2. And when they, that's the wise men, were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 19, But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, 30 parallel verses from the Gospel according to Luke. And chapter 2, I think. Maybe we should read a verse in chapter 1 of Luke, and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 56, And Mary abode with her with Elizabeth about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Verse 4 of chapter 2. We read about the decree in the first verses. Verse 3, Perhaps all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And then we have the birth of the Lord Jesus. Verse 16 just will do for the reading in this part of the chapter. They came with haste, as the shepherds, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 22, And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 25, Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And then verse 33, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then verse 36, we read about Anna. Verse 41, His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And then they can't find the Lord Jesus. Verse 48, When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and the favor with God and man. Now, I refer to another verse or two, but I think that will do for the reading, and we are acquainted with the details that I want to mention in any case. The name Joseph is a name that conjures up in the minds of Christians and Bible readers very, very, very many special associations. And I think there must be about 10 or maybe coming up on a dozen men in the Bible who bear the name of Joseph. If I told you that I wanted to speak about Joseph, you would nearly automatically assume that it was the famous Joseph of the Old Testament. And we'll not be saying anything really about him in these few meetings. What I do want to speak about in the nights that are before us, I want to think about the three Josephs of the New Testament. There may be about 6 of them, and 3 of them are just mentioned by name, just their names in a list, and nothing more really is said about them. But there are 3 other Josephs that we can say a little bit more about, and we'll be taking a look at them, one of them on each evening. And tonight, of course, our consideration will be Joseph the Carpenter. You've often heard messages and articles and books and so on have been written about the 3 Marys, the 3 Marys of the New Testament. Anyone knows that there are quite a number of Marys mentioned in the New Testament, quite a few more than 3. But like the Josephs, some of the Marys just are mentioned by name in passing. But there are 3 Marys that do occupy quite a place. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, Mary of Bethany, and Mary Magdalene. And quite often our brethren have spoken upon the 3 Marys. Perhaps not so often have messages been given about the 3 Josephs, but that's what we are going to do just at the present time. Joseph is a man that hasn't been much mentioned, I suppose. His mother receives quite a bit of attention, and he is almost the neglected figure in the picture. But I hope that we'll be able to say a little bit more about this very, very interesting character. The details about him are sketchy. And of the details that we do have concerning Joseph, I want to make the try and focus mainly upon the travels which this man took, the unusual journeys, unusual travels that he had to take as a result of his association with the Lord Jesus. Maybe I should say, because it's not my subject tonight, but just in case any confusion would arise or any lingering doubts, that I'm not speaking tonight upon the virgin birth. And as far as the birth of the Lord Jesus, the conception of the Lord Jesus was concerned, this man Joseph played no part. The Savior was begotten by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was not the literal father of the Lord Jesus. He was the legal father. But even being the legal father, it meant that he had to shoulder quite a number of responsibilities for a child, which, if you pardon the expression, for a child that wasn't his own. And he was knocked out. And he was put about. And had it not been for the fact that God touched the body of his fiancée and through her brought in Christ, this man would have had a much easier life. But because his fiancée became the vehicle for the introduction of the Savior, he eventually married her, and he became the legal father, he took upon himself quite a number of unasked for responsibilities. And as far as I can see from the reading of the passages, the little that is said about him, he carried out those responsibilities with a self-sacrificing and a self-effacing attitude that can only be admired to this present day. Now, before we begin our travels, and there will be maybe, we'll see, there will be maybe 6 or 7 journeys that we'll take with this man. But before we begin those travels, we'll take our starting point with a little place called Nazareth. It's not a big village. It's not an important village. It's not a village that is applauded. It's a place that was quite notorious, even in Bible days. An obscure place that's not even in the whole of the Old Testament. And it seems from the reader that this man was there. So his town wasn't very important. His trade, carpenter, just a carpenter. His tree, his family tree, well, that's a little bit different because his family tree actually was a royal family tree. He was a man that had, as we would say, blue blood in his veins. And we get the genealogy of this man, Joseph, in the Gospel according to Matthew, and maybe part of it again, in the Gospel according to Luke. And it's emphasized, even the angel says to him, when the angel speaks in the dream that Joseph had, the angel addresses him as the son of David. You say, well, strange. Strange bit of a combination to find the son of David just a carpenter. For all his family links, and for all his very healthy royal family tree, things haven't gone too well, apparently. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a carpenter. In fact, I imagine that it was one of those things that was overruled by God, that the man who would become the guardian of his son would have a trade that would be ubiquitous. You could do carpentry work anywhere. And God knew that the man that would be the legal father of his son would have to move. You know, there are some trades, for example, if he was a fisherman, and he went to live through circumstances in a landlocked country, his old trade wouldn't be much use to him. Some people are experts in the linen trade, and there are certain countries in the world, if you go, they simply can't use linen because of the climate. There are trades, a number of trades that are associated with countries and climates and cultures, but carpentry is one of those trades that a man can nearly get a piece of wood and he can get something to do no matter where he goes. And I think that was part of the reason why the Lord chose a man who was just a carpenter. In that quiet little village, with his ordinary everyday work, in fact, I'm not sure how he got to the village. There's a suspicion in my mind that he was really a boy from Bethlehem. I couldn't prove that. But you know that it tells us when he went up to have himself registered that he went with the people who were going back to their own city. And if Bethlehem is called his own city, why on earth he ever left Bethlehem to go to Nazareth is more than I could ever guess. Nobody would ever imagine doing that. But maybe as a young, maybe it was his carpentry took him there. Maybe Bethlehem was the city of the family. Maybe he had never been in Bethlehem. Some of his ancestors had moved up north. But I can tell you this, that hardly anybody would ever think of leaving the rich hills of Judea and going up to the rugged north of Galilee. So I haven't said anything about the journey from Bethlehem to Nazareth. I'm just assuming that our story starts in Nazareth. When he was there in Nazareth, he made a tryst with a girl. The Bible speaks about it as the word, is it espoused? Is that the word? We would talk about engaged. And maybe even stronger than our idea of engagement. She was most likely a lot younger than he was. And that was that. He made this thrice that he would get married to her. In all solemnity, it was a solemn troth in Jewish circles to become betrothed. And it was an engagement, a legal commitment that was never undertaken lightly. Maybe we would have some lessons to learn from that as well. One day, I'll call her his fiancée. She told him, I'm going away. Unknown to him entirely.
She had had a special visitor from heaven. The name of that visitor was Gabriel. It was quite a journey from glory to Nazareth. And Gabriel spoke to this girl, probably in her early teens, and he told her that she was going to become the mother of the Messiah. She said, "Be it unto thy handmaid according to thy word." He said, "If that's what the Lord wants, if he wants to take my body and use it for that noble purpose, even though it will mean great changes for me," she said, "well, I'll submit to that." When the angel was engaging her in conversation, he just happened to say, he said, "You have a cousin, and she has been expecting a child for the past 6 months, an elderly cousin." She was quite surprised to hear that she herself was going to become a young mother, and that her much older cousin was shortly to become an older mother. She was so intrigued with the news that this girl decided, "I'll have to go and see my cousin, Elizabeth." So, she set off, took the journey from Nazareth to Hebron, about a 95-mile journey. Apparently, she took it unaccompanied. And when she arrived in her cousin's house, she found that her child was 6 months on the way. She stayed with her cousin for the remaining 3 months. And it would appear, I'm not sure about this, it would appear that just before her cousin's child was born, she left. It was probably an interesting experience for her. And she probably learned quite a number of lessons in connection with childbearing from her older relative that stood her in good stead in difficult circumstances that she herself would face a little bit later on. I wonder how Joseph fared in that 3 months. This girl that he was hoping to marry is away for 3 months. Text message hadn't just been quite invented then. Phone? No. Email? Post letters? No, nothing. Right. She comes back after 3 months plus. And Joseph is devastated. When she arrives back, it's obvious that she's going to be a mother. He's absolutely devastated. What has happened? It completely throws him. What am I going to do now? You know, sometimes in life, we can be thrown into very, very unexpected family decisions. And situations develop in family life that you never asked for. And they just crash into your circumstances like a bombshell. There were a couple of things that Joseph was reasonably sure about. Number one was this. He knew that this child that was now obvious had nothing to do with him. He knew that I'd been friendly with this girl. I've been engaged to her. I have affection for her. Everybody about here knows that I intend to get married to her. We have been closely connected. But as far as he himself was concerned, he knew that in his previous relationships with Mary, before she had gone away for that 3 months, he knew that there was absolutely nothing improper or impure. There was another thing that he was pretty sure about. He held Mary in such high regard that he was fairly sure she hadn't done anything when she was away that was short of chastity. But there's the evidence. The girl is expecting a child. I don't think she has done anything, I know that I haven't done anything that would be against the Word of God. Our relationship up until now before marriage has been characterized by the utmost integrity and purity, but she's expecting a child. What am I going to do? Can I speak to younger people here tonight? And some of you are in engagements, perhaps. Some of you are doing what they call out there dating, what used to be called courtship. Just without making a big song and dance about it, can I just make a little appeal? In your tenderness for each other, and in your affection and relationship, would you be very careful that whether you're on holiday, whether you're traveling in a car, whether you're in the privacy and secrecy of a home behind shut door, will you try and make sure with the grace of God that your courtship is carried out under the cover of unblemished chastity? If, and I don't want to hurt anyone at all here, all I say is this, things can go wrong and people can allow themselves to cross a certain boundary and they can allow themselves to become too advanced in physical relationships. And if you should allow yourself to cross that line, it will be sin. Let us just speak about it as sin, according to the Bible. In our world where it's just called a slip or something casual, I'll have to tell you this, you get recovered, but it will always leave a scar in your memory and in your conscience. And it will always be there as something that happened that shouldn't have happened. And it can happen with certain emotional pressures very quickly. So I appeal to all. Joseph was clear in his mind that I, Joseph, and she, Mary, we are not responsible for any misdemeanor here. But she's with child. What do you want to do? I say that he was utterly shocked. Utterly shocked. Any of you men can understand, and ladies as well, you can understand just what it must have meant when she went away and came back 3 months, beginning to show signs of great change. Who shall go? I'm finished with her. That's it. No. I like what it says about Joseph. It says he was a righteous man. And it says he thought about these things. Is that good? He thought about them. He said, now here's a problem. And he said, there's something that's landed here just with me. And he says, you see, let me say this, dear Christians. When you have a test in your life, won't you do something? Won't you do a wee bit of thinking? Because of the way we are made up as human beings, sometimes we leap before we look. Sometimes we speak before we think. Sometimes we jump. And we don't just take a step back and think. It says, while he thought on these things. But you say, Joseph, you don't need to think anything more about it. The evidence is there. You can see it with your own eyes. It's clear that something has happened and you'll have to act. Something will have to be done about it. Wait a second, we'll just take it. Just take your time. He says, well, think about it. Well, think about it. And he says, I don't want to make an exhibition of this girl. He says, I don't want to have a whole big public court. And of all this whole thing dragged out in the open and the girl put to shame before the whole society of Nazareth. He said, if Hardy comes to Hardy, he says, I'll have this engagement broken, but he says, we'll do it privately. You know, the more I think about the man and I try to empathize with his situation, the more I admire. You see, when problems arise with us, we jump into the net. And we get on the phone. And we talk about it. And we spill it out across the country. And we advertise it. And we puff. And we rant. And we rage. And we get mad. And we talk about things. And we just lose our head. And we're so rash.
And the whole thing that was quite a serious problem in a small circle, it becomes a provincial problem. No. Joseph says, now this is something here, and we just need to think about that. And we don't want to make it public. And he says, we want to do what's right, because he's a righteous man. But he says, we don't want to make an unnecessary show or an exit. Here, brother, can I make a little appeal to you? Won't you try and do that? When crises come into the assembly, crises come into the family, crises come into your life, when they come into my quarter, I'll pray for you, and you pray for me, that both of us will be helped to be kept from doing things rashly, to be kept from making things unnecessarily public, to keep things from having too many people involved, to do what's right, but just to think about the best way to proceed forward. And why do you thought on these things? What do you think happened? The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Says Joseph, it's all right. He said, can I explain to you what happened? And the angel told him very gently, he said, that this child, which has really taken you by surprise, he said, this child was begotten in the womb of this young lady whom you admire so much. The child was begotten by the power of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't any other person involved. There has been no infidelity. There has been nothing untoward. He said, Joseph, the reason that you're just a little bit uptight is this, that you don't know the whole fact. And he just waited. He waited. And the Lord made the facts of the case clear. And the whole situation wasn't anything like what human imagination might have suggested. You know, dear Christians, would you, dear brethren in oversight, I have a lot to learn from you, and you'll pardon me from even having the temerity to speak to overseers, but won't you try and do that, dear brethren? You see, when awkward situations arise that would tempt your imagination to run riot and would tempt you to guess and would tempt you to gossip. No, I tell you what to do. Just keep quiet, and maybe the Lord will make the facts of the case clear. And when the facts became clear, the situation was nothing at all that demanded anything like a court, and didn't demand that Mary would be put away at all. It just took... Oh, as I tell you, I could learn a lot from that. First thought is, she'll have to be put away. But when it becomes clear, with a little bit of thinking, plus the word from the Lord, she doesn't need to be put away at all. Because the facts, they belie the suspicions that might... He says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take her as your wife. Oh. And where's that going to leave me? If I had been in Joseph's situation, I would have said, where's that going to leave me? I'm going to have to take... You see, God's going to make sure that his son is not born from what we call in our day a single mother. Now, he's begotten before Joseph and Mary have any relationships, but Joseph marries Mary before the Lord Jesus is born, so that the marriage has been legally consolidated. But you say, where's that going to leave me, Lord? That's asking a lot. You're asking me to take a lady. Sure, the people... All the water in the River Jordan will never wash me clean. The Lord says, now I want you to do it for me. For me. The Bible tells us, and I admire the man, when the dream was over and the sleep was over, he got up out of his bed and he went and took Mary to be his wife. And he said, we want a relation.
that the loss of the child was born, took her to be his wife, not a normal marriage. But he said, I will be your legal husband. And he said, when this child is born, I will be that child's legal guardian. And it will cost a lot. It will cost a lot. He said, I will show restraint. I will show restraint. And he said, you're carrying a child that is not mine. But he said, I'll protect you and be with you and I'll be there for you. Well, there it is. I tell you, that was some few months events at Nazareth. Strange. Isn't it amazing, dear Christians, that when a person's being brought into the line of God's dealings and the line of God's purpose, isn't it really amazing the strange circumstances that all come together? You see, we would all love to be used by God. And everybody in this meeting would love to think that I'll be a vessel and I'll be somebody somewhere along the line that God can use for a special purpose. We would all like that. And that's a good desire and a good ambition. But the little sting in the tail is this. Most of the people in the Bible whom God used in a special way, it was a very costly business to them. It's nice to be a special servant, but the question is, where to pay the price which such a privilege necessarily involves. So, there they are now, and they're together. Now, the next thing that comes onto the whole horizon is, we'll have to go to get taxed. This decree that comes out from Rome and so on. And Joseph's going to have to leave Mary. It's getting near the time of the birth. And Joseph's going to have to leave Mary and go away down to Bethlehem, 70 miles, maybe more than that. It's going to be quite a torturous journey. If he goes down straight from Nazareth to Bethlehem, it's a journey over quite a number of hills. That's the kind of a journey that a Jew didn't like to take through Samaria. And if he crosses over the river and goes down the other side of the river and comes back up to Bethlehem, it will be a lot more than 70 miles. What am I going to do? I need to go to get taxed. It's my city. I have assumed, in obedience to the word of the Lord, I have assumed responsibility for this lady and the child that will be born. Legal responsibility, I mean. Not physical responsibility. Legal responsibility. And, wouldn't you think the Lord would have looked after things a bit better or not? Imagine, we're doing our best for the Lord. We've already knocked ourselves out. I have taken this woman into my home, and I've already sacrificed, or at least put my reputation in jeopardy in the eyes of the people. They don't know all that I know. They didn't get angels coming to them to tell them the explanation. I know it. I have put, and now the Lord allows this edict to come, but I'm going to have to leave her. And she's just on the verge of childbirth. Well, you say, Joseph, take her with you. You say, take this lady with me. In 70 miles of a most uncomfortable journey, and I'll not say anything more about that. You ladies will be more aware of just difficulties and so on. All he says, I'll take her. Take her. See how much? I just imagine in my mind, I imagine how easy it would have been for Joseph just to walk away and say, Mary, I'll be back in a fortnight. I'm going down to get tax. Hope everything's all right. Some of the neighbors will look after things if anything should develop. No, he says, I took on this responsibility, and he says, I'm going to be committed to it. Isn't it great to find a man with commitment to what the Lord gives him? He says, come with me. Well, that's another difficulty. Well, they go. And they get to Bethlehem, and the Lord's looking after things, and they get there in the new lodging. You say this business of working for the Lord's not so handy. You do your best for the Lord, and he puts you on a rough path, and he knocks you out, and he takes you away from your village, and he takes you away to another, and there you are, and there's not even lodgings prepared. This business of serving the Lord can have difficulties. No room for them in the inn. And the birth takes place, as you know, brought forth and led in a manger. A little bit rugged and a little bit tough. Two things that I would say about that is this. Number one, you see that shift from Nazareth to Bethlehem that seemed to be so uncomfortable and seemed to be just at the worst time possible. That journey of 70 miles was fulfilling a scripture that had been written 500 years before. Because the scripture said, the Messiah will not be born in Nazareth, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Secondly, you see the fact that Mary was away from Nazareth when the child was born. What you say was very difficult for her, just her child never had been a mother before, and all the difficulties of that, and all the deep privation, and all the loneliness in a strange village 70 miles from home, apparently not a person to help. You say that was very unkind of God to take her and to make and pose such a burden on that young girl. She's going to bring in his son. What a privilege! But she's going to do it. She's going to do it in rugged circumstances. What a pride. And yet, the fact that God allowed that took her away from all the gossiping tongues of Nazareth. And they talk, you know. They talk. Even when the Savior went back years later, they cast it up at him. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this Joseph's son? And all the gossip of Nazareth, Mary was taken away from all of that, and God overruled. You imagine the tension. Just with all the tension of that over the journey and the delivery, and just hoping for a night's peace and a wee bit of rest. This is upsetting a bunch of shepherds marching. Joseph says, what's this night? There's another invasion of our privacy. Just hoping for a night's peace. The shepherds say, sir, you know, when we were up there keeping sheep, we saw the angels and the glory of the Lord. And the angels told us very interesting things about this child that has just been born. What I want to say is, without elaboration, is this. You see, what must have been one of the most difficult nights in Joseph's life, when he had traveled so far, had looked after his expectant wife, had possibly been there as an unskilled superintendent at the birth, what was one of the most difficult nights of his life in serving God and accepting the Word of God, in the middle of it all, God gave him, saw to it that from an unexpected source, he got a most unusual form of encouragement. And those shepherds came. Dear brethren, learn that. Learn that if you serve the Lord. I'm not talking about full-time service, what people talk about. No. If you serve the Lord, you will find the Lord will give you encouragement in unexpected ways from unexpected people. It appears to me they stayed quite a while at Bethlehem. Things that happened, that likely Joseph was able to get a bit of a house together. They made a house, because a house is mentioned. See, a carpenter. God didn't make a mistake when he chose the guardian of his son to be a carpenter. So they have a house. And 6 weeks later, they make another journey up to Jerusalem. 6 miles from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem. For the presentation, I dare say that likely Mary carried the child, and likely Joseph carried the two pigeons. All they could afford, all they had, likely most of their earthly possessions with them. And Joseph just said, now, you see, as I look back on the past year, my life has just turned inside out. A year ago, I was a quiet carpenter up in Nazareth, and things were going along fairly nicely, planning my marriage to this very special girl. And he likely had certain projections in his mind. That was a year ago. He said, when I give myself to the Lord, he said, my whole, I've changed the place where I live, and here's this child, and the whole circumstances, and he says, here I am going up to Jerusalem for a presentation, and I've only got two pigeons. They get to Jerusalem, and they're going through the little ceremony. I just many a time wondered just all the thoughts that must have been in their mind. And there's an old fella turns up.
He says, can I take the child? I go see Mary. He says, is there a light to lighten the Gentiles? The glory of thy people Israel. This child is set for the fallen Joseph. Then he just had finished and there's another old lady came in. I told you I think Simeon was old. Some of the brethren disagree with that, but there you are. There's an old lady came in and she said some great thing. You see, again, when this poor couple were taking the child up to the big city of Jerusalem and they saw all the paraphernalia and all the wealth of the day and they wondered, here we are. And all this a bit embarrassed, you know, in the big city. And they must have felt very small, doing their best according to the law. And in the midst of it all, when they were doing their best, these two worthy old saints step in and give them special words of encouragement. Can I say, some of you older Christians, that's a thing to learn, to try and do. You take younger Christians that are stepping out in association with Christ, and they're suffering because of their links with him. It was the link with Christ that brought Joseph into these problems. Can I say to older Christians, it's a great facility if you can just say a word to a younger believer that gives them a lift and encourages them and strengthens them in the midst of their sorrow. They must have gone back home that night. They went with two pigeons. They went back home to Bethlehem that night with two oracles. The oracle of Simeon and the oracle of Anna. I would say that Joseph and Mary headed back home happier than ever. And just the wonder they said, well, you know, it hasn't been easy. Word has been tough. It's been tough this last few weeks. Look at all that we've been through. And all this, the things that I've mentioned briefly. They said, but it's been worth it all. God using us. God using us in the midst of a world that doesn't care anything about him. God's using us and we're suffering for it. But he's using us for the bringing in of his son. Oh, I tell you, young sister, in this meeting tonight, you see that office where you work in? And you suffer a good deal of criticism because you're a Christian. And you suffer reproach. And if you weren't linked with Christ, it would be far easier to walk into your office on Monday morning. And nobody would say anything. And they'd be talking about the places they were at on Saturday night. But you don't talk or don't go to those things. And if you weren't linked with Christ, it would be easier. I want to tell you this. No matter how much you have to suffer, if you can bring Christ into that office, you'll have done a big work. Introduce Christ and bring him in where he never was before. That's what Mary did with this man Joseph, supporting her all the time. She was the immediate vessel, but he was there beside her. How much he comforted her and how much he strengthened her. And well, there you are. Goes on, the story runs on a wee bit, a few months I would say. They're in a house in Bethlehem. And they say, we're sort of half getting things settled. Just about has been rough going, it's one change after another, and this business, we're just about getting settled. And again, the door knocks, and there's a crowd of wise men laugh. That's great. That's great when they do a whole, they worship the child, and they present these treasures and these gold and all this stuff. That's great. Oh, you say, things are looking up now. Things are looking up now, Joseph. You'd be able to do a bit of work with gold. You'll have gold plated cabinets and everything in this house now in Bethlehem. Because at last, things are taking shape. That's great. The boys are just away out over the hill. Just out over the hill. And the angel, Joseph, I want you to take the young child and his mother to Egypt.
It's Egypt. Egypt, he said, Lord, I never was in Egypt in my life. To Egypt? He said, well, bad enough you asked me to come from Nazareth to Bethlehem and go up to Jerusalem, but now to go away down to Egypt. He says, take the young child. And he says, I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you how long you'll be there.
He says, you're just there until I bring you word to come home with you. He says, you see all that gold and stuff that landed today? He says, that'll pay the expenses. He says, if I'm going to ask you to do something, I'll give you the wherewithal to do it. Always remember, dear Christians, that God never asks a person to do what he doesn't give them the gifts to do. Will the brethren do that? They give boys to preach that John preached. But if God asks a man to do a job, he'll always give him the wherewithal to do it.
And there was no one there.
Joseph says, right, no. And he said, well, I need to, I'll have to leave the tent. And he goes, go down to the stairway. He had to go that night, I think.
Herod's going to kill the children. And take another journey, maybe 150 miles away down to Egypt. Long into Egypt, into a foreign culture. There he is with his wife and with this child.
Joseph would say to himself, well, I tell you, being associated with the mother of Jesus, the Lord, it's a great privilege, but it brings a lot of upset. You know, let me say again, dear people, being linked with Christ has big demands with it.
Some, because of links with Christ, have ended up in a foreign country. Many a man has gone with his wife to a foreign country, and after a few months there, stood beside a lonely grave. Never thought that it would involve this business of being linked with Christ. I tell you, life's easier without it.
I suppose it is, you know. But there he is, just down in Egypt. And he had the comfort. He said to Joseph, what on earth brought you here? What did it take? You're 300 miles from home. What on earth ever brought you here? Have you no thought for your wife and the child? Well, he said, there's only two things that I can tell you brought me here. One is, he said, this child. He said, I'm here because of Christ. And number two, I'm here because the word of the Lord sent me here. You know, I'll tell you, dear Christian, it'll not matter how great your difficulties are in life, or where you find yourself, or how poor it is, or how difficult it is, or how lonely it is. If you have this comfort, I'm here because of Christ, and I'm here because the word of God put me here. If you land on some fix because of your own foolishness, or you land on some fix because of your own sin, it will not just be as comfortable, but I tell you, the comfort of Christ and the promise of God's word is a real pillow and it's a rest in the midst of the most uncomfortable situation. And the angel told him before he went, he said, Joseph, you just stay there until I bring your word again. Imagine that. He says, I just have to stay here, whether I like it or not. I just have to stay here until the Lord brings me word again. And I suppose a carpenter would have been handy in Egypt too. Carpenter. See, the Lord didn't make a mistake when he chose a carpenter to be the legal guardian of his own son. Well, eventually the word comes, go back. Herod's dead, and you have to go away back up to the land of Israel. He's going to backtrack now. Gets to the land of Israel. Where am I going to stay? I don't want to go to live about Jerusalem. Herod is a son who's now king there, and he's as bad a rascal as his father was, and I don't want to go there and jeopardize the child. You see, this is a man that's going to protect the interests of Christ and sacrifice his own interests. So he comes back, and eventually with a little bit of toing and froing, the Bible tells us that he just landed back in Nazareth. What do you say to be in a bigger place than that? Sure, you're the legal father of the Messiah. You're the legal father of the Messiah. You've had wonderful experience. There never has been a man in the history of planet Earth has been asked to do the things that you've done. Tell you, man, you've been associated with the mother, the virgin mother of the Lord Jesus. You've played a special role in history. You never think a man like you going back to just live in the village of Nazareth. You need a bigger station in life, and you need to up your status a little. And after all, you're a son of David and the legal father of Christ. No, it just touches me to think he just went back to Nazareth. Just the place where he started. I suppose he took up the tools again. Nothing big-headed. Just he has done his job. He has sacrificed a lot for himself. He has put his own reputation on the line. He has cared for Mary. He has traveled hundreds of miles. His whole life has been revolutionized. He has been careful and cautious, very submissive and obedient to what God has said. He has done his work. And he's just now back in playing Joseph the carpenter. You know, I love to see a man that can be given a big job and he doesn't get a big head. There are some fellows, as you know, you'd hardly ask them to preach. That's them ruined.
as they are ruined, to get carried away. Dear brother, do your work for God.
Sacrifice yourself to do it. Forget about your own reputation.
And if God gives you the gift, He'll give you encouragements. There'll be difficulties, there'll be reproaches, there'll be sufferings, there'll be down days, there'll be difficult days, there'll be lonely days.
But let me tell you, just as sure as He gave Joseph encouragement, the shepherds and the wise men coming, and Anna and Simeon, God will give those who share the reproach of His Son special encouragements. I'm going to stop. I can go on for another hour at least. I shouldn't tell you that. Just somebody faints here. I hope you've got the journeys. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And back to Bethlehem. The journey from Bethlehem away down into Egypt. The journey from Egypt away back up into Nazareth. This poor man's feet tramped many a mile. Not easy jetting at all either. All shanks as myrrh. And every step he took, every step of those hundreds of miles that this man Joseph took, a simple carpenter with no big money to sponsor his movements, every step he took was because of his links with Christ. Through Mary, may God help us to get up on our feet and move for Christ, whatever the cost may be. Just, I will tell you before I stop, a number of years, and they'll go back up to Jerusalem again. The Lord Jesus is now 12. And they're coming back home. And they suppose He's in the company, but He's not. Ah, but you say, but you're not telling us that the man that was so careful and so diligent and so self-effacing and so self-sacrificing, and took every step and looked after every detail. You're not telling us that He's now taking the Lord Jesus for granted. I just took for granted He was there. You know, you need to watch that, dear Christian, for that's what happens after a while. You see, when you're working at this business for a while,
and you get accustomed with it, and you learn the language, and you've all the cliches, and you can pray for 10 minutes in the morning meeting, when you get accustomed to it, and you're handling Christ, and quite conversant with the things, there's always the wee danger you get taken for granted. And maybe you wouldn't be there at all. And he had to be caught up, pulled up short. Thy Father and I sought thee sorrowing. Can't you hear the exasperation of good Mary? Wist ye not that I must be about my
Father, look!
That's you in your place, Joseph.
Must be about my Father's business.
There's another father here, my dear parents, that takes prior claim upon anything legal or natural. Joseph. No, it's not. It's not everybody has learned that. Not everybody has learned that when it comes to spiritual things, I say,
Daughter!
No. No, dear brother, when it comes to spiritual things and the things of God and principles of serving God, your mommy and daddy are great people. I know they're great people. But the claims of God are primary. And never let what is natural take precedence over the claims of what is spiritual. Joseph didn't take it ill at all. He said, that's all right. And they eventually went back down to Nazareth. And he just spent the next 18 years there. Did his best. I would say he made the home as comfortable. He died. I would take it he died probably before the Lord's ministry come in. He had at least 4 other sons. Natural sons. And he lived the rest of his life to learn that not one of his natural sons ever put their trust in the son of Mary. Not one of his natural sons in his lifetime became believers in the Lord Jesus. Must have been a fair heart to think that I did all that for Mary's child when I was just first married. And now the Messiah has grown up, and here are my other sons, my other four natural sons, and at least 2 girls, and not one of them has trusted Christ. And he died with a family that was unsaved. But thank God they did get saved later. Some of the brothers were gathered in, and they trusted the Lord in resurrection. Dear believers, all I say as a quit is this, do your best. Do your best. Life is sorrows. Life is trials. Family problems, assembly problems, difficulties. You know, serving God can cast us into different moulds and different places that we never dreamt we'd be in. Just go quietly. Obey the Lord. Do your best. Live for His glory. And leave the consequences with Him. The old statement, as I pray, they say that it's not easy. It takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well. You know, that's what Joseph was. Mary was the primary instrument. Mary was the prime servant. He was just there to support. How many times in the New Testament does Joseph speak? Did you ever hear anything he said? If you did, you're better ears than I have. He never speaks one. A silent, submissive, a supportive role. Not number one. Not in the middle of the picture. But just always there supporting and caring and helping. Maybe that's your role in life. To be a carer. To be a supporter. Not to be in the middle and taking the public primary place. But dear Christians, if God would help us to be silent, submissive, and supportive in our service for Him, I think that every assembly would be a better place and the work would go forward for the glory of God. I trust for this little meditation, rather strange and unusual, I know, but I want you to think about these things. I trust it will be a help to everyone as we think about Joseph the carpenter. You better come back tomorrow night. I like the man that's in tomorrow night. We'll call him Joseph the Counselor. And we'll have a lot to say about him. That's very interesting. Our Father, we thank you.